It is time for worship and wellness, friends. The best way to start your day. Stay happy and healthy today's in. It's called the Refreshing Way. Start your day the Refreshing Way. There's quiz time with questions and testimonies. Always a time for prayer. It's your worship and wellness broadcast. Start your day, in your day, the Refreshing Way.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to worship on the Worship and Wellness broadcast of Torso Ministry. This is the day which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Amen. It's time for opening prayer. My wife on Dream Dove will take us to the throne of grace at this time.
Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for this day of creation. We thank you for giving us an opportunity to be able to open up your word. And we pray for your spirit to teach us the things we need to know as you anoint the words of our pastor and fill him with your spirit. As always, we pray to grow in grace and wisdom as we draw close to you. For in Jesus' name we pray this. Amen.
Amen. Our opening song is It's About Time for the Coming of Christ.
It's about time for the coming of Christ, your King. It's about time, O Christian. It's about time. It's about time for the coming of Christ, your King. It's about
about a new heart, and we're going to Ezekiel chapter 36. We're going to read several verses. We're going to see how this whole new heart process works. We're going to see why God does it, and how thoroughly does he do it, and what is the result. Amen. Let's pray. Father, thank you very much for the plan of redemption. Help us to realize in this message that the purpose of the plan of redemption is not just to save us. The main purpose of the plan of redemption, Lord, is to give you all the glory and honor. For the devil tried to steal that glory and honor, and he did so by lying. And we're all recipients of that lie, but you come with truth. And to glorify your most holy name, and because of your great love for us, you do save. But we ask that you would help us to understand this great plan a little better today. In Jesus' name, amen. The Bible says in verse 21 of Ezekiel 36, but I had pity for mine holy name. So what did God have pity for? His holy name, which the house of Israel had profaned among the heathen whither they went. So when we as God's people don't act like we're God's people, we actually sully his name. We profane his name. We dishonor his name. So we need to think about that as we move on from day to day, moment by moment. Do we want to continue with what we say, profane the name of God, with what we teach? That's what we say. What we do, profane that. Where we go, you know, would God be able to go with us? Can angels go with us where we go? Can God vouch for what we say, brothers and sisters? Let's make sure that we're not profaning God's name. But he said he has pity for his holy name because we have profaned it. Therefore, say unto the house of Israel, thus saith the Lord God, I do not this for your sakes, O house of Israel, but for mine holy name's sake, which ye have profaned among the heathen whither ye went. And I will sanctify my great name, which was profaned among the heathen, which ye have profaned in the midst of them. And the heathen shall know that I am the Lord, saith the Lord God, when I shall be sanctified in you before their eyes. Did you hear what God just said? God said these heathen people we want to save will understand that I'm the Lord God because they're going to see how I change you. He's talking about his people. Oh, my brothers and sisters, there is love. It's a great love. It is a love beyond belief. But even though God said he's not doing this for us, he's doing it for his holy name, you have to understand his name is love. God is love. That's his name, friends. And God's character is nine-tenths mercy. When Moses said, show me thy glory, God responded and said, okay, I'll proclaim my name. So that means name is glory. That's Exodus chapter 33, around verse 18. Not around, it's verse 18. So when he made the proclamation of his name, which would be his character, okay, because name represents character. Remember, he said, show me thy glory. He said, yes, I'll show you my name. I will declare my name. He gave him an affirmative. That's when Moses wanted to see God. And when God, you know, he passed by before him and he only could see the backside, but the bottom, because if he saw his face, he wouldn't live. God made that proclamation and he proclaimed 10 things and 9/10 of them were mercy. 9 of them were mercy. He said, the Lord God, merciful, gracious, long-suffering, abundant in goodness and truth, showing, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity, transgression, and sin. That's 9 things. Then he said, but that will by no means clear the guilty. So brothers and sisters, you're guilty in the end because you rejected all the mercies. Oh, that beautiful song says, I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever, David said. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord. So God says he's going to sanctify his great name, and he's going to do it, and the heathen will know that he's God when he can bless and infuse his spirit in crazy people like me and crazy people like you. God is love, my friend. For I will take you from among the heathen and gather you out of all countries. You see, you out in the world, you know you ought not be, but you're out in the world. God said he's going to take you from being out in the world and bring you into your own land. And let me tell you something. You might say, well, why did God say he's not doing it for our sake, but for his own sake? You see, when the devil comes to you and he says, you're no good, you're always messing up, you're always doing this, you ain't nothing good about you, you can say now to the devil, yes, but it's not about me. God can save me because by saving me, it honors and glorifies his name. That's what you tell the devil when he tells you that, you know, you're not any good. Then in verse 25, then I will sprinkle clean water upon you, and you shall be clean from all your filthiness, and from all your idols will I cleanse you. God justifies us, brothers and sisters. When you accept Christ as your personal Savior, and when you have sinned, and then you ask God to forgive you, he places a stamp upon you of justification, and you are looked upon in heaven as though you have never sinned. Now, you could have just come from the club. You could have just come from a hotel where you ought not have been. If you are sincere and humble and you cry out to God, please forgive me, and you're sincere, it says if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's what this is talking about. This is talking about to the repentant sinner. God places the merits of Christ in our place, in place of the record of our sins, and they get covered by the blood of Jesus, my friends. That doesn't mean you're definitely saved forever, and no matter what you do in the future, we're going to see that that's not the truth. Some people believe once saved, always saved. All you have to do is one time, say, okay, I'll give Jesus my heart. No matter what you do, you could be a serial killer. You're still going to make it into the kingdom. But, you know, when you confront them with this, they say, no. If you're a serial killer, that means you really didn't accept. So then there are degrees of sin. You can go ahead and sin and maybe do a little bit of adultery or a little bit, you know, God will forgive you that. But if you're a serial killer, you can yell at your wife or scream at your husband or mistreat people or, steal the cookie from the cookie jar. But as long as you don't eat anything big, bad. So who are we to determine? That is bad. You see how messed up that doctrine is, brothers and sisters? God never said that. He never said that if he forgives you, that you could just go back to sinning. That's not what it says. It says he will cleanse you, friends. It's a new heart. Watch this. A new heart, verse 26, also will I give you, and a new spirit. You're not going to be doing evil things. You got a totally new spirit. A new spirit will I put within you, and I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh. What else does God do? And I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes. There will be changes in our lives. We won't look at the same things that we used to look at. We won't go to the same places we were going. We won't listen to the same music we would listen to because he will cause us to walk in his statutes. Now, it's a process, and we have to keep growing in the process, and we might have some good days and bad days, but we need to understand that as God's holy people, we need to be different. We need to have a new spirit. We need to be preparing for heaven. Whatever we will experience in heaven, that's what we need to be experiencing here down on this earth, my brothers and sisters, and all of us need to keep praying and coming up higher every day. Amen. I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you shall keep my judgments and do them. And you shall dwell in the land that I gave to your fathers, and you shall be my people, and I will be your God. I will also save you from all your uncleanness, and I will call for the corn. That means we will bear fruit. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. If you are God's, you will do godly things. That will be the fruit. You will eventually not like some of the things you like today. You will not like them in the future, brothers and sisters, because God will be the center of your life. I will multiply the fruit of the tree and the increase of the field, and ye shall receive no more reproach of famine among the heathen. Then shall you remember your own evil ways and your doings that were not good, and shall loathe yourselves in your own sight for your iniquities and for your abominations. Now, not for your sakes do I do this, saith the Lord. Be it known unto thee. Be ashamed and confounded for your own ways, O house of Israel. Verse 33, it says, thus saith the Lord God, in the day that I shall have cleansed you from all your iniquities, I will also cause you to dwell in the cities, and the waste shall be builded. Friends, when we have Christ in our lives, we are not the same. You know, you have stories like Mary Magdalene. You have stories like the woman of the well. Jesus walked up in her and he says, you have five of those husbands, and the one you are with now, sleeping with now, is not yours. Some of us wouldn't even go approach a woman that was we knew was in adultery. We have these holier-than-thou attitudes. Jesus came to save people, brothers and sisters. And if you find that somebody or think somebody is caught up in sin, if your inclination is to stay away from that person from the perspective of you could actually do something to show the love and kindness of Christ, something's wrong with your walk. They will make it into the kingdom, and you won't make it. We have Pharisaism, brothers and sisters, that has taken over in the church, and we need to be careful that we are not Pharisees, brothers and sisters. We should love people and have the love of God shining in our hearts and let them be drawn by the love of God. That's what happens in the Bible says, with loving kindness have I drawn you, not with all the rules and all the standards. Yes, we believe in the Sabbath, but you can't beat people up over the head with it. We teach it, we show it, from the Word, and then we let the Holy Spirit do His work, my brothers and sisters. We need to be like Jesus. Amen? Be like Jesus, this my song, in the home and in the throne. Be like Jesus all day long. I would be like Jesus. Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you very much for teaching us how the new heart works, that it is done to glorify your most holy name, which happens when you are living in our lives, and that it draws the heathen because they see that hypocrites like us have been changed. Father, we pray that you will bless us now, that we will understand that you call for the corn, that we must bear fruit, and that our lives should not be the same today as it was yesterday, for we have the converting power of the Holy Spirit on our side. Give us grace and power and strength, Lord, for we need it. We don't possess it in and of ourselves. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. My brothers and sisters, we're going to do something a little different. We're not going to have as long of an intermission. We're going to choose a different song. Some of you all were with us at a time where our dear sister Roberta Pennington wrote a song called The Ministry of Healing. And we're going to play that song. I believe that I didn't actually get a chance to cue it and listen to it, so I hope I chose the right one today. But anyway, God is good, and then we'll go right into our health message, which we will hear from Sister Donna on the subject resistance against disease. Resistance against disease. Okay? So just be aware, this song is more like a 3-plus-minute song, okay? God bless you.
When Christ was but as I read the scriptures and I study the gospel, I hear his ministry of healing. None who came could ever leave him feeling worthless. He laid his hands upon the afflicted and he healed them. Many times the Savior's voice was the first sound that they heard. Christ's name, the first word they've ever spoken. He came to live his life for the needy and the suffering. His life was one of constant Christ our Savior could ever leave his side.
Amen. Christ Ministry of Healing. At this time, we're going to hear from Sister Donna. Good morning, Sister Donna.
Good morning. Good morning, Pastor and Maria, and good morning to everyone on the line. That was a beautiful song, Pastor. Really beautiful. I love that. Thank you.
Praise God.
Mm-hmm. This morning we are going to hear on resistance against disease. This reading is going to first give a general statement, and then it will touch briefly on the eight laws of health. Resistance against disease. The object of the health reform and the health institute is not to quiet the pains of today. No, indeed. Its great object is to teach the people how to live so as to give nature a chance to remove and resist disease. The power of the human system to resist the abuses put upon it is wonderful. The careful conformity to the laws which God has implanted in our being would ensure health, and there would not be a breaking down of the Constitution. A great amount of suffering might be saved if all would labor to prevent disease by strictly obeying the laws of health. The power of the will is a mighty soother of the nerves and can resist much disease simply by not yielding to ailment and settling down into a state of inactivity. In order to preserve health, temperance in all things is necessary. Temperance in labor, temperance in eating, temperance in drinking, temperance in everything. Nourishment. The body must have sufficient nourishment. The God who gives his beloved sleep has furnished them also suitable food to sustain the physical system in a healthy condition. Nature will restore the vigor and strength during the sleeping hours if her laws are not violated. Exercise. Each faculty of the mind and each muscle has its distinctive office and all required to be exercised in order to become properly developed and retain healthful vigor. Each organ and muscle has its work to do in the living organism. Every wheel in the machinery must be a living, active, working wheel. Nature's fine and wonderful works need to be kept in active motion in order to accomplish the object for which they were designed. Each faculty has a bearing upon the other, and all need to be exercised in order to be properly developed. Bathing frees the skin from the accumulation of impurities, which are constantly collecting, and keeps the skin moist and supple, thereby increasing and equalizing the circulation. Persons in health should on no account neglect bathing. They should by all means bathe as often as twice a week. And let me put a little sticky note here. You will notice sometimes that you get dust collecting around your house. Part of that are your skin cells flopping off. So not only is it important that you daily bathe, but that you regularly wash your clothing and your sheets. In order to maintain an equal circulation, there should be an equal distribution of clothing, which will bring equal warmth to all parts of the body. There is much greater work upon us than we as yet have any idea. If we would ensure health by placing ourselves in the right relation to life, the peculiar people whom God is purifying unto himself to be translated to heaven without seeing death should not be behind others in good work. In their efforts to cleanse themselves from all filthiness of flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God, they should be as far ahead of any other class of people on this earth as their profession is more exalted than that of others. Those who, so far as possible, engage in work of doing good to others by giving practical demonstration of their interest in them are not only relieving the ills of human life and helping them bear their burden, but are at the same time contributing largely to their own health of soul and body. Doing good is a work that benefits both the giver and the receiver. If you forget self in your interest for others, you gain a victory over your infirmities. The pleasure of doing good animates the mind and vibrates through the whole body. So let us remember, saints, to try to do good for someone. It will benefit not only you as the giver, but the receiver as well. And remember to live life according to the Live Free lifestyle. Thank you, and have an awesome and blessed day in the Lord.
Amen. Amen. Praise God. Friends, we need to follow and take heed to that. Let's resist disease. It does not have to be that we always get sick. Thank you so much, Sister Donna, for sharing that. The Live Free lifestyle, my brothers and sisters, what a blessing. We're going to go into sharing and caring time, and just, you know, whatever the Lord leads you all to share. We have on the Facebook, we have representation from Georgia with Sister Vicky. We have Brother Peyton out of North Carolina, and both of the both Vicky and Brother Peyton, Sister Vicky and Brother Peyton, say good morning to us, as well as Sister Bernadette out of Florida. We got Sister Glorious saying the same out of Virginia, and a dear friend, Sister Sharon, out of the Atlanta area. And God bless you all. And she says, blessed day, everyone. On the call, we have representation from Ohio, Ohio again, and we have Maryland. We have Alabama. We have Delaware, and Delaware again. We have New Jersey. We have Oklahoma. We have Virginia. We have Ohio. We have Iowa. We have South Carolina, and we have Georgia. God bless you, friends. Let's share with one another. What has the Lord put on your heart? Any comments, questions? This is our time to share. This is a one-hour broadcast, up to an hour. We're just at the bottom of the hour, and we will look forward. Again, if there's any change in the schedule next week, there may be, so keep listening out. We're just not sure completely at this time, but it may be a couple of days that we don't broadcast. So let's just definitely keep up with the broadcast, and we will be making that announcement. God is really good. You know, we're just grateful. We're so blessed to be in the health message, my friend. And as we're about to go to Sister Lenny, God gave us a lifestyle. Now, I'm in my mid-50s, and most of my classmates I grew up with, you know, they've got diagnosed diseases, and that's not bragging. None of us have perfect bodies. But, friends, we don't have to be as sick as we are. And so I appreciate Sister Donna for sharing how to resist disease. All right, we got a couple of callers. We're going to go ahead and take them at this time. Okay, we start with Sister Lenny. Good morning.
Good morning. Happy Tuesday to everyone. I want to thank you for praying for my granddaughter. She has returned home safely and others. Amen. I thank you so much.
Praise God. Praise God. You know, we need to remember that prayers are being answered. So, friends, when they're answered, let's announce it so we know that, remind us that God truly is a prayer answering God. Anything else, sis?
No, that's it. Thank you.
You're welcome. We're going to go to Sister Wanda now. Good morning, Sister Wanda. All right, Sister Wanda, I believe your phone is muted.
Yes, I say good morning, and first giving honor and glory and praise to God, thanking him. He is the life giver, and you're right, he is the answer to all of our problems and our prayers. And I praise God that we serve a God like that. It is because of him that we have hope. And I am just thanking God for the broadcast, trying to invite a couple of other people onto the call, that they may receive the blessing that I am receiving. I also want to solicit your prayers this morning. You already have been. I know it, and I thank God for it. The Lord put on me for this to be a day of fasting and praying for my child. I received a picture of her, and it just about floored me. And but you know, we cannot get discouraged because God says we are not to walk by sight, but by faith. And so I'm keeping the faith in what he is doing, not what he's going to do, but what he is doing in Jessica's life. And I said the fact of not walking by sight is because it don't look like it. It looked like it's just constantly getting worse. But sometimes they say it gets worse before it get better. But I'm just standing on God's promises. I'm just soliciting your prayers today while I'll be fasting and praying. And I ask God to keep me in much prayer, though I'm at work and I have to work. Sometimes you get occupied and forget, but I pray that I'll be in much prayer for my child, for her deliverance, and to come back to God. Thank you so much. God bless.
Amen. Amen. Praise God. We're going to keep her in prayer. And at this time, we're going to go to Sister Desiree. Good morning, Sister Desiree.
Hi, good morning. And good morning, Sister Maria, and to the fellowship here. She read that. I wanted to go back and read that, what she said, resist disease. Could she tell me what book? Because I'm on a different phone, and the echo is kind of bad. I didn't hear. I wanted to get.
So you wanted to tell you what she was reading from?
Yeah, please, Sister Donna.
Okay.
And what page?
Yeah. Actually, it didn't come from one specific book. It's one out of Ellen G. White's writings, but it is a compilation. It's a compilation of many of her writings, and the book is titled Healthful Living, Compiled Writings by Ellen G. White. And it came specifically out of the title, out of the chapter called Resist Disease. And it started on, let me see.
The book is Helpful Living?
Yes.
Helpful Living. And it started on, the reading started on page 68.
Page 68?
Yes.
Okay, and the title of it is Resist Disease?
That's the title of the chapter, yes. Resistance.
Oh, title of the chapter. Okay.
And the title of the book is Helpful Living.
Okay.
Now, was that resist disease or resisting disease?
It's resistant against disease.
Oh, resistant. Resistant.
Yes.
Okay.
Resistant
against disease. Okay.
Yes. Resistance against disease. And it started on page 68 of the book, Helpful Living.
Resistant.
All right.
All right. Thank you.
You're welcome. You're welcome. We're going to go to Sister. Amen, amen. We're going to go to Sister Cabin at this time. Good morning, Sister Cabin.
Good morning, brother, and good morning to all my village family on the line. It's
amen.
Such a privilege to have people who pray for you, and you can pray for them. What an honor it is. As broken as we are, God can still minister not only in us, but through us. And I just praise his name for just that privilege. This morning, I bring my praise to him, and I ask him to keep me focused. And I'm thanking him also for my mother's birthday. She will be celebrating her 102nd birthday today. So I'm thankful for that. And
wow.
I continue to ask for his presence in her life and in mine. And I want to encourage my sisters on the line and my brothers, too, that keep your eyes on Jesus. The devil is using all kinds of things. He will use our family, our health, our finances, our relationships to distract us from having a purpose-filled life for him. But if we keep our hand in his and ask him daily to order our steps, he will see us safely through, and the mountains that seem to be invincible, we will see them become as sawdust. So I praise him and I thank him and I continue to ask you to keep me in prayer as I will be traveling next week to go home and spend some quality time with my mother overseas. And I'm just praying that he will help me to minister to her in not just a physical way, but a spiritual way as well. So thank you so much for your prayers, and I'll continue to pray for this prayer line/ministry. God continue to bless you as you minister to others.
Amen. Praise God. And we will definitely be praying for traveling mercies. Amen. You know, the enemy tries to take us out at different times. If we could understand what our guardian angels have done for us and are doing for us and will be doing for us, we would have a closer walk with God. Oh, my brothers and sisters, the devil doesn't like you and would love to take us out, especially if we are in a state of lack of conversion. He loves to kill the unconverted, because everybody that is lost, that's one less person Satan has to burn for. Every person that is saved, Satan will have to burn for them. Did you know that, friend? That's taught in the sanctuary. There was, in the Day of Atonement, the blood was taken in by the high priest. And as that blood was taken in by the high priest, and at the end of the time of judgment, the high priest, representing Jesus Christ, came, and he put his hands on the head of what was called the scapegoat. And that was that goat that transferred the sins of the righteous to the scapegoat. And then he was led out by a fit man into the wilderness. That represents the devil's time, 1,000 years, talked about in Revelation chapter 20, where the devil will have to think about all that he has done during that time. That's a wilderness experience. But the goat actually ends up dying, and the devil will end up paying for all that he has done. So he's not interested in you being saved. He wants you to be lost. So, friends, we have a wonderful opportunity today to serve God, to share the health message with God, with others, rather. So tell people to drink water. Encourage them to get out and exercise. Encourage them to study their Bibles. Encourage them to eat a plant-based diet, friends. We have so much wonderful blessings God has given. And before I close out, we're just going to hold on a second. We hear a little background noise. We're going to go ahead and change that. Okay. We're just encouraging you to keep this ministry in prayer. And if you would like to support Torso Ministry, this is a full-time ministry. We are your pastor and pastor's wife, even if you have another one. If God impresses you, please feel free. If you want to talk to us more about that and what God says tithe and offering should be used for, we're more than happy to share. And I'll end with this. A lot of people don't realize that when God sees us as a church, he's not limiting that to those who worship in the same building. The church is, in the Bible, is called the pillar and ground of the truth. Okay, that's in, let me just find that scripture for you really quickly. And it's in Corinthians, but I'm just going to find it for you. Pillar and ground of the truth. So those who are teaching the truth and living the truth, God considers that his church. Okay? Who was the church when they were persecuted by Roman Catholicism? They were out in caves and, dens of the earth. Okay? But that was God's church. Okay? So it's 1 Timothy 3:15. It says, "But if I tarry long, that thou mayest knowest how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth." So as we get into the last days, friends, church is not going to be often as it is today. People may be in small groups studying having Bible studies in somebody's living room. Persecution is going to be on the increase as we get closer and closer to the end. We will not always have the opportunity to be on the airwaves. It costs money. And the Bible says to the faithful, of the faithful, that they will not be able to buy and sell. So we wouldn't be able to afford, we wouldn't be able to be allowed to buy the electricity that allows us to have these platforms in which, you know, the free conference call, that's a paid service, okay? So I just want you all to be aware and of way, the way it's going. And I'm here to tell you, brothers and sisters, I'll just end with this thought. We will be getting back to Daniel 11. And I will tell you that the more I study, the more I am convinced that the pioneers had it right. And the pioneers understood that the last part of Daniel 11 had Islam taking over the area of Israel, okay? And that was a signal, because they would then be destroyed. But that was a signal for the people of God that probation was about to close, because the next verse says, at this time, Michael stands up. And so, you know, there's been a lot of changes and new thoughts to that as it relates to the king of the north and all of that. And I know some of this is Greek to some of you, but that's okay. We're going to study it. But I'm here to tell you that when you see what's going on in Israel, the world has it wrong. They think Israel's going to triumph. No, Israel's going to be destroyed, according to Daniel 11. The Muslims, so when you see all this stuff going on, you know, you saw Hamas attack Israel. Israel responded, and their response was with much greater fury. That's going to, I believe, eventually anger, because it's overkill. I mean, they're killing many more than were killed, it's going to anger Islam, and I think we need to recognize that these events over there, while that's happening over there in America, we need to keep our eyes on America. America, the Bible says, will lead out in a national Sunday law. It was President Trump who could get back in office that brought in an office. I forgot the name of it, but it's a evangelical coalition, basically, of advisors in the White House. You know, the separation of church and state would not be separate if he has these advisors that would come. And, you know, things are being put in place for these things to happen. And we don't know how it's all going to happen, but I just want us to stay alert and awakened. And that's why, friends, we teach the health message as we're about to close, because as religious aggression, we're told, this is a quote, as religious aggression subverts the liberties of our nation, those who would stand for freedom of conscience will be placed in unfavorable positions. They should, while they have opportunity, become intelligent in regard to disease, its causes, prevention, and cure. Those who do this will find a field of labor anywhere. The shortness of time demands an energy among those who claim to believe the present truth. So this ministry is about teaching and healing. If you'd like to support, let us know. We'd be happy to show you how to do that, and we're here to help you and pray with you and support you and be there for you in God's will. So thank you for your prayers. Thank you for your support. And at this time, I'll turn it over to my wife, Undreamda, we've got a couple of new callers before we do. Let's wrap that up with those callers. We've got Sister Leilani. Good morning, Sister Leilani.
Good morning. Can you hear me?
Yes, ma'am. We hear you loud and clear.
Okay. I was wondering in the prophecy of Daniel, where the Ottoman Empire comes in. You know, in the statute, there was, you know, when the Ottoman Empire took over, you know, a lot of changes were made, but I was just wondering, you know, whether the Bible doesn't talk about that.
Yes, it's definitely in the book of Revelation for sure, probably more, as the Bible speaks about it as a scorpion. That's the Ottoman Empire, the Muslims. But the actual Ottoman Empire, of course, we know fell, but I'm going to say that I'm pretty sure the Ottoman Empire was in play in Daniel 11. I believe it was, if you study Daniel 11, where it talks about, I think it's around verse 41. But anyway, it talks about the king of the north pushed at him. The king of the south pushed at him. And then the king of the north came against him. And then it says that countries of Edom, Moab, and the children of Ammon escaped. That's definitely relating to Turkey. And, you know, Turkey was kind of like the head of the Ottoman Empire. So it's in Daniel 11, even if, you know, the actual empire might not have been in place at that time. I'm not sure about that. But Daniel 11 definitely has the Ottoman Empire in play. The whole movement of when Constantine moved the capital to Constantinople, and it was the Ottoman Empire that overcame that. They changed the name to Istanbul, but that is in Daniel 11. And those settings are in Daniel 11. So if there are any other places in Daniel, I'm not remembering, but I know that you have descriptions of their work in Daniel 11.
And another question I have is, you talk about worshiping the truth. I was just wondering about, you know, visiting other churches. And can you celebrate the truth that another church has?
Okay, when you say other churches, are you speaking of churches that you know not to be teaching truth? Is that what you're talking about?
Well, when people invite me to come to church, and you know, is it okay to go to other churches?
Okay, so I would say the answer to my question would be yes. You're talking about churches that we know don't teach all the truth. So the Lord is a wonderful God. He's a balanced God. The counsel we have from the servant of the Lord is we should not go unless we are obliged to go. And that puts it in the framework of you privately with the Holy Spirit, okay? So the Holy Spirit can only tell you if you're obliged to go. You know, obliged does not mean that, oh, I just want them to, you know, my neighbors to think I'm nice and that kind of thing. It's where the Lord is urging you to go. I have gone, and I can only tell you my experience. When I have gone, I was the speaker, okay, at a different churches that didn't always didn't know the truth, or if they knew, they didn't practice the truth. And so as a speaker, you know, I'm sharing the word. But we should not, as a general rule, we're told we shouldn't sit and listen to error without a protest. And protest is your presence can just not be there. So as a general rule, we don't just go listen to error. But God left it open that if we were obliged to go, we should go only if we were obliged to go. So that's the only answer I can give you. It's the answer that I'm aware that God gives us as it relates to attending churches that we know are not teaching truth.
May I have an opportunity to join a choir that they have a choir practice on Tuesdays, and then it's followed by prayer meeting when we sing and you have prayer meeting. Is that something?
Well, sister,
that I
you know, you're going to have to. Let me just say it this way. I'm so happy that the Holy Spirit is the one who has to give you the answer. Okay, I'll just give you my experience. My experience is when I was in choirs. When I started learning more, and I found that even some of the songs they sang and the lyrics of those songs they sang did not always reflect what was truth. So if I'm singing it with them, then I'm promoting, you know, that lack of truth. As it relates to, of course, the choir is expected to be at the Tuesday night Bible study or whatever. What is being taught? You know, you can be singing, and therefore you're there and you're presence, you're promoting the event by being there, and then they may start teaching that when you so-and-so died, they went straight to heaven. Then, you know, you're promoting that. You're encouraging that. So that's something to consider. So, again, let the Spirit of God lead you. Pray about it. We have a distinctive message. We are a people that are to share the third angel's message, the three angels' messages. It is different from the world. It is a warning message to warn people, because Jesus is coming, and those who have defied his law will not be saved if they persist in that defiance. And so we have a special calling.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome. All right, and we're going to go to Sister Donna at this time. Sister Donna.
Yes, Pastor. I wanted to ask you, you quoted a scripture a short while ago about how to act in church, how we should act in church. Can you give me that scripture, please? I would love to study it, because we really need that. The devil is busy.
Yeah, I quoted 1 Timothy 3:15. But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. And my point in that was the ground holds up the pillars, and the pillars hold up the building. So that which is in the Bible, it was all through the Bible, and it's in the spirit of prophecy as well. The church is not defined as an organization. The organization was God's tool to take the church in the right direction. But Ellen White is very clear that church is the faithful people. She said it is not the various denominations. So in the truest sense, it is not. And that deception is a Roman Catholic deception. So if you left Rome, you were considered to be lost. And then the Protestants picked that up. And if you left them, you would be lost. And then the Adventists picked that up. If you left that, you would be lost. It's not in the Bible, and it's not in the spirit of prophecy. So those who uphold and teach truth, that is God's church. So that's what I was focusing on, the pillar and ground. But 1 Timothy 3:15, and we're going to see as we move forward, and that's why if you go to, for those of you who are in the Advent movement, you need to look at First Selected Messages. Is it book four? Let me see, First Selected Messages. I have to get it for you. We had about 5 minutes. I'm going to try to find this for you. But we've been told.
And what?
Go ahead.
I was just going to say, and while you're saying that, I just wanted to say that we can look at the situation that we are in right now in these times. A lot of people are only doing church virtually. They can't go to a church in a building.
Yeah, you know, COVID was a blessing in that it kind of awakened people to realize that, you know, there's other ways. And I'm not suggesting, brothers and sisters, if there is a place where you can go and you can hear the truth, I'm all for it, you know. But I am glad that, and I do believe God allowed this technology to help God's people stay on the right path in times like these. I was going to read to you First Selected Messages 204. It actually tells us that the organization is going to be swept away. It's just going to be, okay? Listen carefully to what the Lord says. The enemy of souls has sought to bring in the supposition that a great reformation would take place among Seventh-day Adventists, and that this reformation would consist in giving up the doctrines which stand as the pillars of our faith. Brothers and sisters, that has been done. I'm not saying every person in the organization or every teacher, but it is the vast majority that are, you know, in harmony with this suppression of the authority, for example, of the spirit of prophecy, suppression of the teaching that we must overcome sin. That's not the prevalent view. There's been other things that have taken place. So anyway, there was a supposition, she said, that we need to give up some of these doctrines, you know, and you go to some of these schools and they're no longer teaching about the mark of the beast. Pastors are being taught not to bring that up. Maybe they can touch on it in an evangelistic meeting, but they're actually told, ordered by the leadership not to deal with those subjects. And so remember what it says, Seventh-day Adventists, that it was the and that this reformation would consist in giving up the doctrines which stand as the pillars of our faith and engaging in a process of reorganization. Now, I want to pause and say this. You all can go to the USPTO.gov, that's the United States Patent and Trademark Office, and look up General Conference of Seventh-day Adventists. You will see that the General Conference of Seventh-day Adventists, under penalty of perjury, stated to the federal government that it started in 1965, I think it is. Let me see. 1963. Now, we all know it started in 1863, but under penalty of perjury, they basically announced to the federal government that they do not connect with that movement, that it's a new movement, and they said their starting date is 1963. I just want to bring out that as we read this, we're talk about a process of reorganization. Were this reformation to take place, what would result? The principles of truth that God in his wisdom has given to the remnant church would be discarded. Our religion would be changed. Friends, I'm old enough to know that the way we do church is not the way we used to do church. You didn't see drums in churches and all this emotional-based church liturgy. You didn't see that. It was more, what does the Bible say? What does the Bible teach? Things have changed, brothers and sisters. It says our religion would be changed. The fundamental principles that have sustained the work for the last 50 years would be accounted as error. And watch this. A new organization would be established. That's what I was just telling you. They're hiding it from you, but they're hiding in plain sight. All you have to do is go to the trademark office. They said we started this organization in 1963, okay? It's not the same one in 1863, all right? Books of a new order would be written. A system of intellectual philosophy would be introduced. The founders of this system would go into the cities and do a wonderful work. The Sabbath, of course, would be lightly regarded. You remember during COVID, couldn't worship, but you had people walking up and down the street in Black Lives Matter protests, brothers and sisters. That's not Sabbath activity, friends. If we can't worship God and we can walk up and down the street saying Black Lives Matter, now Black Lives Matter, Black lives do matter. But I'm going to tell you, the originators of Black Lives Matter were two lesbians. Now, God loves lesbians just like he loves all fornicators, okay? But I'm telling you, Black Lives Matter does not support black people. Black Lives Matter was put in place to support the homosexual agenda. That's why it was heavily supported by the homosexual agenda. And as soon as they switched from Black Lives Matter, what did you hear? Gay lives matter. The whole gay movement is based on claiming that you have the same civil rights because you choose to sleep with somebody pervertedly, okay? And any perversion outside of marriage is perversion. Any sleeping with somebody outside of marriage is perversion. So there's heterosexual perversion. There's homosexual perversion. We've got to tell it like it is because some of you will look down on homosexuals, but you don't look down on the deacon that's sleeping with the pastor's wife, okay? All right? It's all wrong, okay? But it is a perversion, all right? And so that's Black Lives Matter, brothers and sisters. And there you can look at those of you who know how to do this. Because it's a 501c3, you can actually go look at their records of how they spent their money because it's a registered 501c3. And I saw a person's report, and it actually showed that, you know, it wasn't really used for the black community. It was more so used for the gay community, the millions of dollars that they raised. Let me finish reading this quote, and then we'll wrap it up. A system of intellectual philosophy would be introduced. The founders of this system would go into the cities and do a wonderful work. The Sabbath, of course, would be lightly regarded. That's where we were. I was talking about they wouldn't open the churches to worship, but they went out in Black Lives Matter rallies on the Sabbath, and also the God who created them. Nothing would be allowed to stand in the way of the new movement. Try teaching what I'm teaching, which is nothing but Bible, Spirit of Prophecy, in these circles. You're not going to be able to be allowed to do that. Nothing would be allowed to stand in the way of the new movement. The leaders would teach that virtue is better than vice, but God being removed, they would place their dependence upon human power, which without God is worthless. Their foundation would be on the sand, and this is the point, and storm and tempest would sweep away the structure. So the church that's going through to the end is not an organization. It is the people. God told us that organization that did what I just described to you is going to be swept away. So it can't go through. It can't be the entity. Now, God set it up, brothers and sisters, as a vehicle to help us move. But when it starts turning in the wrong direction, we are not to just feel like that's what we have to submit to. Okay? All right. That's my point. I'm going to go ahead and take one more call, Sister Desiree, and then we'll close out. Sister Desiree, good morning again.
Hi, good morning again. Listen, you have read this before, what you just said about the new movement or whatever. Is that in one of the
testimonies? That's First Selected Messages, page 203.
First Selected Messages.
I'm teaching things that are not popular, but, you know, Jesus taught things that are not popular. He told the Jews,
right,
your kingdom is left unto you desolate. My house, your house is left unto you desolate. That was not popular to say at that time, but it was the truth. It was the
right
truth.
So First Amen. Selected Messages, page 203.
Yeah, 203, 204.
To 204. No, because it just dawned on me, I can't say it here, but it just, a light bulb went off in my head.
Okay.
Wow.
We'll talk about it.
Okay. All right.
Amen, amen. All right, brothers and sisters, at this time, I'd invite my wife on Dream Dust to take us to the throne of grace to close out at this time.
Let's pray. Father in heaven, the Lord, we seek your face this morning because it is your word and your truth that we have and we can hold on to and we can believe in, because it is what is going to help us to have a relationship with you. We thank you, Lord, that you have given us this opportunity to be able to share many things, and we pray that your words will always be guided in our words, so that we know that we are being in the center of your will and we are following your plan, Lord, that you have set for each of us. We want to lift up to you, Sister Wanda, her daughter Jessica. We understand that there has been some recent contact of some sort and that she is somewhat more aware of how her daughter is doing. We can hear that there was a great surprise of when she actually was able to see the photograph of her daughter. And we know that we can only imagine that. I'm sure the way she looks today is nothing compared to how she has looked in the past. And we know that this is comforting to know that she is in this world under this snare and this bondage of being out there on the streets and participating in things that are so abusive to her body. We pray that you will help her, Lord, to be returned home to a place of safety, love, support, a place of help, and a place certainly where she can be delivered from these things. So we're asking for your Holy Spirit, Lord, to come and help her, to guide her, to be with her, and to continue to protect her, Father. We pray that all the things that she is doing, she will stop desiring, and she will only have a desire to get better and to be with her family. We pray that she will continue to be lifted up before you every day by her, not just her mother, but by other family members as well. We know that there is power in prayer, and we know that when we keep these matters before you, that you work things out, Lord. We may not see everything come to its full fruition, but we know that you are working them out, and you're working things out as you work along with the person. The person has to be willing and has to be ready, and only you know what that timing is. So we keep that before you. We pray, Lord, for Sister Kevin Traveling Mercies, going to see her mom and other family members. We pray that you will bless this visitation and may it be one of a joyful time and a peaceful time
and also a very loving time as well. And we just ask that you will bring her back to us when the time is right. But until then, we just ask that your spirit will go before and be with those that she'll be traveling with, be with the pilots that will be on the plane, and may everything, Lord, work out in accordance with your will. May she be used mightily over there as she is your daughter, and we ask that you will give her divine intervention opportunities to be able to share the gospel. We want to pray for Sister Liani. Lord, we know that she has moved recently into this place. She is right now being invited to join and participate in religious activities. And Lord, we know that she needs to always seek your counsel for the plans that you have for her life. You tell us that in all our ways we are to acknowledge you, and you will direct our paths. And I pray that she does just that. Mm. We know that she wants to be able to minister to others, to be a witness for you. But Lord, we can't do anything without seeking you. We are to go to you first and foremost for all other things that we encounter, that we're interested in. Everything has to be approved by you. Mm-hmm. And we are told, Lord, that we are to be careful in the things that we choose to get involved in, because it is very easy for the devil to deceive us. People may come across being extremely nice and kind, mm-hmm. and the activities of the religious events may appear to be innocent, may appear to be nothing but mere gathering of saints who just love you. But, Father, truth has to be revealed, and truth has to be spoken, and everything has to be, thus saith the Lord. We all need to be under strict submission to your laws and to obey your ways that you have set before us. Otherwise, Lord, we will serve you not to the fullest, and that would be a shame for us to be able to do and not realize that we're doing it. So we pray, Lord, as your sons and daughters, we all come together and ask that you would be with Sister Leilani. Don't let her be fooled by anything, Lord, and please keep her and protect her from these snares. Let her acknowledge you by directing her path, and her path needs to be set always in following your will, your ways, and obeying your laws. And we pray, Lord, for others who have silent petitions. We know that during this time of the year that you have given us opportunities to be able to reach out to others. I was listening to someone who kept saying, just be kind, be kind, be kind. And we do need to be kind. There are so many people in this world that are hurting, even people that are coming to our homes, maybe dropping off mail or packages. We need to be kind. We need to be able to still share the gospel. We need to, when we go to stores, hold the door for other people. If you know someone is coming out and you can see them, go and grab that door. Be kind. Hold the door for them and tell them to have a blessed day. Hold the door for others that are behind you. Make sure that they have the door as you all are passing through. Just be kind. There's so many people that are rushing in this life, and they're not even looking at people, just ignoring those that are in their view, and they're just headed towards whatever it is they're trying to do and get to. People don't understand that the love of Jesus needs to be upon each of us. Who are your followers? And we need to be able to show people the kindness of Jesus Christ, the love of Christ. And when we do, it becomes contagious, and people will acknowledge that. People will think about holding the door for someone else, smiling, taking the time to glance at a person and to acknowledge their presence. Let us just always remember that we need to ask you, Lord, what do I do today to serve you better, and how can I be of service to man? Those are questions we need to be asking. Well, how can I draw closer to you, Lord? What can I do in my personal prayer life, in my personal study time? Show me what I need to do. Show me the things that are in my heart. If I'm harboring sin and I don't know it, expose those things to me. Help my thoughts to be clean and of heavenly things. Help my words to be kind and loving. Help my ways to be ways that you have directed my path to reflect Jesus Christ in my life. We need these things, Lord, and especially during this time of year when we have opportunities to reach others. Please, Father, work with each of us and help each of us to work with you as we let your Spirit lead, guide, direct, and instruct our lives. And again, Lord, we put all matters before you. And please, we ask that you would answer our personal, intimate petitions, because they are ones that we have just between ourselves and you. And we know that our God tells us that we are to wait and be still and to know that you are the God who will work these things out. And we pray that all these things will be done in accordance with your will. This is your day, and may we be glad and rejoice in it. For it is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. But he shall receive 100-fold now in this time, houses and brethren and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecution, and in the world to come, eternal life.
Therefore, if we do our part in faith, God would open ways before us now, undreamed of. God bless you.
Amen. Our closing song, I Will Trust in the Lord.
I will trust in the Lord, I will trust in the Lord, I will trust in the Lord till I die. I will trust in the Lord, I will trust in the Lord, I will trust in the Lord till I die. I will walk with the Lord. I will walk.